So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, broken, decaying world. God, with so much going on, we need your help, and we need your word to help guide us daily. Bless this time. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking this morning. Yes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Did I say Matthew 24 and verse 3? Amen. Let me get my contraptions together. So as we continue on, remember we're praying and fasting every day. Amen. I noticed one of the worship scriptures was in the bulletin. Amen. So if you would take that bulletin home, go over the scripture during your worship and prayer time. Read the Proverbs during the week. Remember, the Proverbs have replaced the horoscope, the fortune cookie, and the super lotto. Amen.
Yes.
We're trusting in God. We're trusting in God's word. Not anything else. Anything else is temporary. Don't exchange the temporary for the permanent. Don't trade the temporary for the permanent. Don't do it. Amen. So here we go. As I'm thinking, there's systems for everything. I guess one of the ultimate systems would even be our body. Within your body is your digestive system, your respiratory system, your skeletal system. Everything is in order the way God created it. Just amazing. So as I'm studying God's word, there is a way, there is a system to study God's word, to build your relationship with God and to hear from God. There is a way to do it. Matthew 24 and 3. Let's talk about some of the ways and we'll get into the lesson. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, underline privately if you don't have it underlined already. How do we get to hear from God? How do we get closer to God? By going to God privately. Yes, we should come to church. Yes, you need to fellowship. The word tells us not the forsaking of ourselves, of the assembling together. You should not be outside of church. You should find a good church to go to. If not here, somewhere else. We think we are a good church, but there's other good churches as well. It does not have to be here, but it has to be somewhere. And with that being said, then there's times when you go to God, like every day, privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be and what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world. All right. Natalie. Oh, sorry. JL. All right. They're playing games with me this morning. Take us to Mark 9:27. Let me show you the consistency of the word. Mark 9:27. This is when the young man had a foul spirit or an unclean spirit. Jesus lifted him up by the hand and he got up. He had cast the spirit out of him. 28, JL. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him how? Privately. You got to get away with God yourself. You have to spend time with God yourself. You have to have private time with God. With any relationship that we have to have private time to build the relationship. Most of you, I see you at church and we get to know each other, but it's the private time when we go out to lunch or you come over to the house. You come over to the house to see the fight. But it's the private time when we really get to know each other. Even when we're one of the blessings of the food outreach is, that's private time away outside of these four walls. And we're just getting to know each other. We're getting to love on each other. We're being a blessing. But it's no way you can get to know someone. Husbands and wives, you know good and well, you can work and live in the same house and be roommates. Mm-hmm. You can live in the same house and be roommates and you're married. Because you spend no private time together. In order to develop any relationship, there must be private time. Husbands, can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's times when my wife and I would get busy and, hey, roommate, how you doing? I'm good. How you doing, roommate? Hey, that's all we are during this season, just roommates, because there's no private time together. It happens in a relationship. But then you make sure you fix that. That's okay if it's for a week or something, but if it's a year, something's wrong. Amen? Oh, okay, let's see. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Every time they were with Jesus privately, they asked a question. Get together privately with Jesus and ask your questions. It's okay. It's okay to question God. God, what is going on? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do I need to do? What should I be doing? Lord, what am I missing? Get together privately with God and be real. Why couldn't we cast that unclean spirit out? I called foul unclean. Unclean in the way of thoughts and actions and deeds. Why you can't get rid of some of that unclean stuff? Why we can't get rid of some of that unclean stuff? Hit the next one, JL. And that's when he said unto them, this kind, this kindred, the stuff you're dealing with now cannot come out except by praying and fasting. So here we go. How do we, the system to connect with God? Going to God privately, praying and fasting. And then we know, of course, reading his word. It's a system. You can connect with God. You can hear from God. You can commune with God. You can have a relationship with God. Remember, we do nothing out of religion. We don't come and praise and worship to put on a show. As I'm worshiping, I'm asking God, God, I'm praying for people. God, help me to see things that I don't see. Give me clarity on this decision I'm getting ready to make. I'm always talking to God. Not out of religion, but because I need to know, because there's too much going on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So there's a way that you can connect with God. Okay, let's go back to Matthew. JL, take us back to Matthew 24 and 3. I'm going to just do a quick review of last week because there were some things that was just really profound. I think I better stay closer to this way. There were some things that was really profound last week as we were going through the Word. I'm going to quickly touch on those and get into today's lesson. It all goes together. The word privately means apart, separate, and beyond. So God wants to get with you apart from everybody else, separate from everybody else, and you have to go beyond the normal. You got to go above and beyond because we get so busy, you have to go above and beyond to make time and to take time for God. The time is not going to let you spend time with God. You have to go beyond and make time. As husbands, sometimes we have to go above and beyond to spend time with our wife. Got to take days off. Got to take time off because the schedule will never allow for it. Take it from me. I'm always doing something. To take time for God, take time to build relationships. All right, so let's look at verse 4. Talked about the end of the times. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, don't let mankind deceive you. It's a mass deception going on. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them take you away from God. So much going on today. We talked about the deception in the media and social media and TV and radio and music and everything else that's out there. Be careful. Don't let anything take you away from God. Your job, your corporation, your logo, your brand. Don't let it take you away from God. Jesus wants us to focus in on what's important. Not that you can't have those things. God doesn't have a problem with you and I having things. Just make sure that things don't have us. Don't let anything lead you away. Deceive means to lead you away from the right way, to cause you to go astray from the truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So here's JL, go down to verse 7. Here's a part I wanted to touch on. So Jesus is talking about when he comes the second time, his second coming, which is different from the rapture. And maybe one day we'll go through all the different, the rapture, the second coming, the apocalypse, all that kind of stuff. But right now, just know that Jesus is promising that he's coming back. And they ask him when. They ask him privately. And he says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And that word earthquakes means also tempests and storms and hurricanes and tornadoes in different places. Sort of like what we're seeing now, but that's okay. He said these are just the beginning of sorrows. We compared it to a time. If it's, everything happens at what time? Midnight. So it's probably about 11:45, 11:50. It could be 11:55. It could be 11:59. But we know it's close. But here's one thing that, verse 9, here's one thing that really stuck with me that I want to elaborate on just a little bit. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, to be tortured, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Put a star by that. So I was trying to just wrap my head around this. We talked about it last week. Either Jesus is guessing or either Jesus is God. He's saying that they're going to deliver you up to be tortured and kill you. We talked about the things going on in this country and around the world, how Christians are being beheaded because they won't deny Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to say, how would Jesus know? Now, look, we're talking 2017 years. Okay. We're talking 2017 years. But hear what I'm saying. That is almost a ridiculous statement to make. That's even arrogant to think, you know what, man, I'm so cool that in 2017 years, people will kill you if you mention my name. Yeah. Wait a minute. Dude, are you kidding me? You all that? What does his disciples think? What are you trying to say? Who you think you are, God? Oh. Wait a minute. Imagine if you're hanging out with somebody. I'm hanging out with my buddy Roy, and Roy says, hey, man, you know, if you mention my name, people going to kill you. People going to be offended. You're going to get tortured by hanging out with me. Roy, you know what? I just remembered. I got something to do. Hey, man, I'll see you later. What's wrong with this dude? You think you all that, man? Are you kidding me? But look at our heroes today, who we have holidays after. George Washington, we get Washington's birthday, we get Lincoln's birthday, we get Dr. King. Dr. King couldn't even say, you know what, kill me and I better have a holiday in the future. Everybody gonna know who I... He can't say that because he didn't know. Lincoln didn't know. Hey, you know, 100 years from now, I'm gonna have you're gonna celebrate my birthday. Really? Washington? They can't say it because they don't know. They didn't know any of it. But here is Jesus, who's God in the flesh, saying, look, people going to hate you because of me. Come on, man, really? You're not all that. Who you think you are? Either he's guessing or he's God. You just, when people ask you, say, I don't believe in God. Say, do you believe that Jesus was a prophet? I don't believe in anything. What about, how would he know? How would Jesus know all this would be happening? You can't guess that accurately. And you can't make stuff up like that. I got a couple read this. Let me see. Okay, I already read that. That's kind of arrogant. I said it was arrogant and self-centered to think that people were going to be thinking about you or even caring about you and I in 2017 years from now. Ain't nobody going to care about Pastor Carter. I mean, I would like to think that somebody would, but in 2,000 years... They sure ain't going to be dying for mentioning that name and I'm going to kill you. We're going to torture you for saying Pastor Carter. Really? 2,000 years from now? Probably not. Let alone dying for us. For your name. Whose name would you die for? Even your own blood name, who your great, 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 great granddaddy is somebody, right? You mentioned, say something about my great, 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 great granddaddy. I'm going to hurt you. You don't even know who he was. I don't. Okay, who is he? Who cares? All right, I'm going to keep moving, all right? So I wrote, read this, Kathy. It says, read this, so I got to read it, right, Kathy? Just ask people, how did Jesus know that people would still be talking about him, worshiping him, serving him, loving him, blessing him, following him, praying to him, seeking him, and dying for him 2007? How did Jesus know that? When people say, well, I don't believe it. How would Jesus know that people would still be talking about him, serving, loving, worship, praying to him, and seeking him 2017 years after he resurrected? How would he know that? You can't argue with the facts. You can't accurately guess this. He must be God in the flesh. Then verse 14, Jill, take us to verse 14. And this gospel, well, verse 13, but he that shall endure it, those that can last, because it's a lot going on. Culture is anti-God. But he that shall endure to the end, not just halfway through, family, we got to ride this thing out with Christ. The same shall be rescued, the same shall be saved. We got to ride it out. And we don't have it as bad as other cultures have it. I mean, we have it really good. We're really comfortable Christians, and I'm okay with that, trust me. I'm okay, but the only time you can understand and know where you are is when you're tested. We got some teachers in the audience, and the only time you know, if you know the material, if you know Christ, is when you're tested. So if you're being tested, amen to that. And this gospel, not some other foreign gospel, this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto, and that world right there is not the orderly system of deception. The word world, this world, is the inhabitable parts of the earth. So everywhere that people are, this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has to be proclaimed, has to be declared in all the inhabitable parts of the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Then shall Christ return. You talk to end time scholars, they say, oh, that's happening now. It's no reason, nothing holding Christ from returning right now, this moment. Now, let's go to verse 36. Let's pick it up, today's lesson. So here we go. It's talking about when Christ returns. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but only my Father only. So nobody knows when Christ is coming back but God. Jesus doesn't even know when God's going to say, go, get out, go back. Were you keeping up with the news that somebody had said that September 23rd was going to be the end of the world? Anybody else hear that? Which was yesterday. Amen. I'm glad we're still here. Somebody say amen. Amen. And even if God was going to return on yesterday, he wouldn't do it because nobody knows. He would have delayed. I ain't going to come because nobody knows. Right? He would have changed the date. Right, Sister Kathy? But Jesus already says a lot of false prophets and all this kind of stuff out there. But somebody did predict. I thought it was interesting as I was looking at the news, seeing as how I would be speaking on this this morning, because God says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, amen, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So God is saying, people, it's going to be business as usual when Christ comes back. It was business as usual when that flood came. Isn't that something? The day you get married, I finally got married, and here comes the flood. Been waiting my whole life to get married. The same day you get married, the flood comes and you gone. Rose, it just happens like that. God's saying it's going to be business as usual. You're going to be going to work. You're going to be chilling. You're going to be going to the gym, going to school, or ditching school, however y'all get down. Yeah. JL, however y'all get down these days, I don't know. Social media on the phone, doing our thing, waiting on this, waiting on that, and Jesus is coming back. So it intrigued me a little bit. What was going on in the days of Noah? What was happening right before the flood came? So let's take a look at it. Okay. Let's go to Genesis 6 and 5. What was going on? He said in the days, it was business as usual. People were doing their thing. Going to school, we're teaching school, we're coming to church. Family, we will not know the difference. They didn't know the difference. God's telling us you're not going to know. So don't get caught slipping, as they say. I remember when we were in college, men, the roommates, and we would always just talk about it. We're getting ready to go out to a party. We're getting ready to go do something. And we would say, if Christ came back tonight, will we get left? It's like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to go now. That used to be our measuring stick. Hey, dude, are we getting ready to go? What if Christ come back tonight? You going to get left? Oh, why you got to say that, man? You know, got to ruin the fun. You know, we're trying to go out. You're in college trying to have fun. You got to, if Christ come back tonight. Well, if he come back tonight, I'm in trouble. Okay, anyway. But take my chances. People do it all the time. You come back tonight, I'm just getting left. Okay, dude. All right. Okay. And it was always cats always throwing that out. I used to try and sneak out before they see me. Rome, where you going? Oh, nowhere. Hey, Christ come back tonight, man. Shut up. Stop saying that. I ain't trying to hear that tonight. 6 and 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination or every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Make a note. God sees the intentions. Oh, man, you don't even have to do it. God sees the intentions. God sees our thoughts, and God sees our heart. And in this case, I don't think we're that bad right now. Amen. We're close, but we're not that bad. I don't see us. I mean, we're in church. We're praying. We're worshiping. We're standing in the gap. They're out of control. We're out of control, but we still got some that are standing in the gap. So we were studying Wednesday night in Bible study, and Paul was saying there's still some, just like in the day of Elijah. God said there's 7,000 prophets, 7,000 men and women that haven't bowed the knee to the false god. So there are some of us that are still out there living this thing. Well, I don't think we're this bad, but they were out of control. But then know that God sees our intentions. So when we say, you know, I didn't mean to do that, it don't matter what you say, because God saw what you really meant. You could tell me I didn't mean to say that, I didn't mean to do that, and you might mean it, but God knows for sure. Every imagination of the thoughts, man, that is some scary stuff. I can't get amen for that. Like, y'all always thinking about the Lord all the time. Like, y'all always quoting scriptures in your mind all the time. That is scary. Imagine God, because you know the imagination can take you way out somewhere. And then the Holy Spirit bring you back. You're like, dude, what was I really that far gone? Yeah, I was way out there. God sees all that. But he sees that it's in their hearts. Which is everything that you are was evil continually. Have mercy, Lord. Then look at verse 6. And then it repented the Lord. Or the Lord regretted that he had created man on earth. And it grieved and stressed him at his heart. Please, Lord, never look at me and say, man, I'm so sorry that I created that dude. He's breaking my heart. She's breaking my heart. God, write down, God has feelings. People, we're going to have to stand before God. And we can't make an excuse why we did. God said, I created you. See, the world wants to say that they created God. So I can live any kind of way and justify it because I created God. So this is my God. So I can do everything and what I want to do. And I don't have to worry about it because, after all, I created God. So that's what the world wants us to think, that we've created a God, and that it's okay, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, whoever you want to do it with, that it's okay because we created God. But right there says God created us, and God's heart is broken because we're living and acting crazy. And he said, that's not what I created them for. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given us, and for God's heart to be broken because all we're doing with everything he's given us is evil stuff. Like I said, I don't think we're there. We're close. Some aspects of society are there and could care less about God. But God's heart is broken. And this is just like, this is right before the flood starts. And it's business as usual, and people are doing their thing, and we're doing our thing, and God says, it's going to be just like that, and I'm coming back. And you ain't going to know. You're not going to have time to get it together. It's going to be business as usual. You're going to be getting married. You're going to be getting engaged. You're going to be hanging out. And that's the tough one. And some of us say, man, shucks, I wish he would have came back right after I got married. Some of us, not anybody in here, but some of us. I'm speaking in generalities right now. He should have came back. I wish he would have. Saved me some heartache and some grief, man. Wish he would have came the day I got married. Could have saved me a lot of stress. Not me, I'm just speaking. Right, Sister Tara, right? I'm just speaking in generalities. Y'all too much, boy. Where am I at? Let me get back to the word. I got a couple of read this. Verse 6, to the point that God is disappointed and heartbroken that he created man. And the word repented, it's not like God sinned and he had to repent. The word repented means regretted. He was sorry. It also means to breathe strongly. God looked at him and said, oh, gosh. Sometimes God looks at us and goes, and God breathed strongly because he had created man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Make a note that also in Ephesians 4:30, it tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed into the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is a person as well. It's the third person of the Godhead. You can stress the Holy Spirit out. You can grieve God. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can disappoint. You can make them sorry. You can break their heart. Holy Spirit saying, don't go. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You go to the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. This dude is stressing me out. This lady's killing me right. God said, this lady's killing me right now. Really? Are you really getting ready to go with that guy again? Are you really? You're going back to him again. Holy Spirit going, you know, don't do it. And you go, and the Holy Spirit go, I'm out of here. Man tries his best to create God in his image so man can justify all the evil and wickedness that he and she does. But God created us in his image. God's heart is broken because we look and act nothing like our Father. The Bible paints a picture of unrestrained sin of every kind. That's what they were doing in the days of Noah. Unrestrained sin of every kind. We can grieve, which means to hurt, vex, pain, and torture the heart of God. You can't tell me that you can do something like this to someone who you say that you love. We were going through the purpose and purity class for the last 2 months. We've been going over the book of Hosea, where God tells Hosea to go marry a harlot, to go marry a prostitute, so you know what it feels like to be cheated on. So when you go talk to the people, you know exactly what it feels like to be cheated on. That's cold. And Hosea, guess what? He went and did it. That's a tough one. And we was reading this morning, and God told him, go get her back. Because he got her, and she left, and he said, well, go buy her back from her lovers. He had to go buy. So we asked the question, would you go, if your wife left and, or your husband left and he's with multiple lovers, and God says, go get them back? I ain't hearing that. I ain't trying to hear that, God. No. I'm good. No, I'm good. She left. I didn't put her out. She left. God says, go get her. He went and bought her back. He went and bought his wife back for 15. Was it pieces of silver and shekels and some barley? And he went and got his wife back. And then we just compared it to the love of God, how God has bought us after we've left God. And God loves us so much. He's just painting the picture of how much he loves us and how he bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ to get us back after we went after multiple lovers. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if we're to reflect God, then we have to forgive. We have to take back. We have to love unconditionally. That's a cold one. Told him, hey, go marry. So you know what it feels like. When you talk to the people, you know exactly what I'm feeling. I kind of like the Bible. It's really real. So we're in there talking with our youth. We're talking real stuff. Because when they go to school, trust me, they're talking real stuff. So our purpose in purity class, yes, we do talk about sex and hoes and prostitutes and everything else. Because they're talking about that in school and more. And it's not even high school and middle school. It's elementary school, and they're talking about all kind of stuff. So let me finish this up for today. So verse 6, he repented God. Verse 7, and the Lord said, okay. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man from who I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me, or it's, I'm so sorry that I've made them. Wow. But Noah, verse 8, but Noah found grace, underlying grace, the grace of God. It's favor and acceptance. We've all found grace through Jesus Christ, who's God's Redeemer, accused, executed, buried, and resurrected. We've all found grace, the favor of God, the loving kindness of God. You can't earn it. It's not performance-based. Salvation is not performance-based. It's grace-based. But Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. But remember, it doesn't matter how just he was. What came first? The grace of God came before him being just. Grace comes before performance. The devil tries to make you think you have to be right before the grace of God takes over your life. No, the grace already has come. Accept the grace of God, which is his gift, Jesus Christ. And then because we are saved, then God helps us to get ourselves together. Look at the order. The grace came first. Then it said Noah was a just man and he was perfect. That word perfect does not mean perfect. It means he was sincere, that he was completely sold out to God. It doesn't mean perfect as in not sinning. It just means that he was sincere, that he had integrity, that he was completely sold out to God. And how many of us know that you can be completely sold out to God and still make mistakes? And still mess it up and do something stupid and say something stupid? So that's not what it's saying. You don't have to try and walk around being a perfect robot. That's not what it's saying. It said the grace came, and because of the grace, he's able to live a complete life. But the grace came first. Without the grace, it's not going to happen. So Jesus comes into our heart, and through Christ, we can do all things and be strengthened. And in his generation, And then underline this, and this we'll stop at right here. Noah walked with God, which means Noah followed God. So here's this part of the system, walking with God, praying, fasting, private time with God, and then staying and walk with. That was the only thing. Noah was the only one. And because Noah was like that, his family was saved. So it doesn't say that if you're walking with God, your family is saved. I wish I could say that, but it doesn't say that because we know if we compare him with Job, Job walked with God and his family got wiped out. It's the sovereignty of God, but we know. Either way, we should be walking with God because it's part of this system of growing close to God and having that relationship with God. And we'll pick up the rest next week. Amen. So if you would, just bow your head for a minute. So we just close out in prayer. And Lord, as we accept the challenge of not being business as usual, as if you can't come back at any time or that you won't come back. But the scriptures go on and tell us to watch and be mindful, to know that God could come back at any minute. We don't want to be like in the days of Noah, where they could care less about God. It was only one person trying to walk with God. Lord, we want to walk with you. Thank you for the grace that allows us to walk with you. It's not performance-based, it's grace-based. So we thank you, Lord. And you predicted this, Lord, because you're a prophet, priest, and God. You told us about things to come, what to watch for. You instructed us well through your word, and we thank you for that, and we bless you. Now let us apply it to our life. Help us to live for you, Lord. Let us not be business as usual. Let us not get caught sleeping and slipping the night you return. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I got to take the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I want to be saved. I thought it was based on performance. But now I understand it's the grace of God. It's a free gift. All I have to do is receive Christ into my heart. Then he strengthens me to live for him. If that's you, elevate your hand. You've never been saved. You've never accepted Christ, or you're not sure and you want to be sure this morning. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life and you're more aware than ever that Christ could come back at any minute and you don't want to be somewhere where God hasn't called you to be. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you and for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home and you just haven't planted yourself and you say, from the worship to the word and just the love of God in this place, the fellowship with like-minded believers, I'd love to be a part of what God is doing here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We're not members, we're family. Lord, how we thank you and we bless you for the challenge to live this thing and not be business as usual. You've called us to a higher standard. The culture in the world would have us lower our standards, but you've called us to a higher standard and you don't change at all. You are the Lord. You change not. You're not going to change your standards for the world's standards. You created us. We didn't create you. And you're not going to change that. So we accept the challenge and we bless you, Lord. We love you on today. Thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. And you are dismissed.